Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. And joining me in studio right now is Christina Mayworm. She is a suicide prevention regional educator, part of the Western UP Health Department. And also Brian Rendell. He is the training and prevention coordinator for Copper Country Mental Health. We're going to be talking about UP Unites, collaborating to strengthen crisis intervention and suicide prevention in the Upper Peninsula. Following the news that you know that a little while ago an effort was began to bring together various organizations to tackle the problem of suicide, and it's a good time to have an update because September is Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, and Christina, no better time, not that there is or ever is a bad time to start talking about this.
Exactly. Yeah, we have been really busy since the beginning of the year putting together groups of people in various counties in the Upper Peninsula. Now we actually have a suicide prevention or coalition, whatever they want to name their organization, in every county of the Upper Peninsula. It's taken a few months to really get that going, but I myself are responsible for the Western UP, so that's Houghton and Keweenaw counties, Ontonagon County, and Gogebic County. And we now actively have something going on in every county.
One thing we certainly don't shy away from on this program is talking about difficult to talk about issues. Mm-hmm. Suicide is certainly one of them. Usually when it's talked about, it's talked about in hushed tones, especially if you know somebody that's been affected or yourself has been affected. It's not an easy conversation to have, and we're going to do our best to have a truthful and open conversation about suicide and the problem that it is and what's being done to address it. We were talking earlier about some of the things that are said locally about whether or not suicides are a real problem, a big problem, blown up problem here in the Copper Country or in the UP in general. Brian, let's go ahead and talk with you about that. Can you address that, just people's viewpoint on how prevalent suicide is?
Sure. Most people have been in the Rosé Center, right, here in Houghton. And if you were to imagine that place filled with people, it still would not fit all the people who die by suicide in Michigan every year. Back in 2009, about 1,160 people committed suicide in Michigan. And just a few years ago, it's up to 1,344. So there'd be standing room only in the Rosé for Michigan. And when we look in our current our surroundings, we see that those rates are similar to the rest of the state, and in some cases maybe a little higher. It affects every age group, but it's the second leading cause of death in the age group of under 24, and so we're particularly interested in young people. It's a big transition, and in fact, if you look at transitions on any spot in the spectrum of aging, you'll find some evidence that it affects people at every age level. In fact, it does affect people at every age level. And it also affects people at every economic level, at every cultural level. This is an equal opportunity problem that we have.
With all the various causes or reasons why people commit suicide, are there common threads?
Most people, we study this. We've been studying this for a long time as a field of mental health, and we still don't know everything. We still don't know a lot, probably, but we've learned a lot, too. And one of the ways that we learn about suicide is by talking to people who have done something that would typically be quite lethal, like jumping off the San Francisco Bridge, let's say. That tends to be pretty lethal. But for some reason, they survive, and so we talk to them. And we learn about people who have overdosed and somehow miraculously been able to survive. And what we find is that people who actually commit suicide are people who tend to have experienced such a long, problematic, it's a very difficult time in their life. A lot of stress, a lot of pressure, and a lot of pain, a lot of emotional pain, in some cases even physical pain. And they get to a point where they are apparently not able to even imagine a way out other than just ending their life. And most people don't want to die. They just want this pain to stop. And some cover it up pretty well. So we hear about people saying they had no idea. But we don't know what is happening inside somebody's mind sometimes when they don't reveal everything, or when we don't ask. And so one of the things that we want to do is we want to start asking, checking in with people when we notice that they have some symptoms of a possible suicidal view. And we want to check in with them, and we want to try to get them as much help as we can. So, we know that a lot of folks may have a mental illness. When I say a lot, I would say the vast majority of cases of folks who have committed suicide are believed to have had a mental illness that was either undiagnosed or untreated. And so we also want to make sure to step forward when we notice some signs and symptoms of mental illness and get them the help, because that can lower the risk of suicide.
The statistics are difficult to come by with suicides. There's a lot of question marks, around cases that are fairly well publicized. But then there's a vast majority of them. We don't have a lot of information. So it's hard to nail down, isn't it, the suicide rate of any particular given area.
Well, it's about 13 per 100,000 in the country, and Michigan is about 13.2. So we're right in the ballpark in terms of the suicide rates. What I'm more concerned about is identifying the risk behavior, and what we can see some of that even locally. We've had some measures from some studies done locally in some of the schools. And we find that, for example, as many as one in five high school girls seriously considered suicide in the past year. One in 10 boys, as many as one in six high school girls made a suicide plan. As many as one in 11 boys made a plan in high school. So we see evidence that there are people, young people, who are struggling. And this is something that's on their mind. Now, most do not, fortunately, go on to commit suicide, but these are opportunities for us to step forward and reach out and address these concerns before they get to a point where somebody makes that decision.
What's the difference there between considering suicide and making a plan?
Considering suicide is something that's more common. People might imagine what it might be like. They hear somebody has done it, they wonder what that is, and they might feel they might have a depression for a while. It might be something that crosses their mind. Having a plan steps up the risk a bit, because that means that somebody has decided, this is how I'm going to do it, this is when I'm going to do it, this is what I'm going to use to do it. And when that occurs, that's far riskier, especially if you bring in something like firearms, and if somebody says or has the idea that they want to use a firearm, that raises the lethality, because that's pretty instant and sudden and in most cases irreversible when somebody chooses that method. If you introduce alcohol into the picture, that changes the way a person problem solves. So if somebody's been drinking, they're not going to be quite making the same decisions as we would hope they would make otherwise. And in some cases, when you have alcohol and firearms in the same mix, that right. is dramatically increasing the risk, because people just don't make really good decisions when they're drunk. Most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Christina, getting everybody together, have you been able to determine just how you want to go about, addressing these issues?
Well, we have, like I said, we've got active groups in all the counties, and each group is, even though we have the same goal, they're taking a little different approach. In Gogebic County, the Range Suicide Prevention Council has been there since 2001, but it's kind of dwindled down in numbers. So when the primary driving force behind that group there knew that we were coming on board and trying to actually bring together all the things that were going on under one umbrella, so we can kind of work together and have more of a visible force. So he was really happy with that. And over there, he already has the suicide prevention walk. And September 10th is the International Suicide Prevention Awareness Day. So there's walks all over the UP. Here in Houghton County, because we're kind of a new group, we have decided that that's a big undertaking and we want to do it well. So we're going to put that off till possibly next year. But what we want to do, again, is to try to reduce stigma and raise awareness. We've started a ribbon campaign, or we will be. We've been putting together ribbons, and we will just be distributing those to different groups, different, when we go to meetings, we're going to take a handful and pass them out to different business organizations and try to encourage everybody to post them on their door or in their window or at their cash register, and just to start getting people to notice that it is an issue that we want to do our best to try to prevent. But yeah, each group is so different, but yet, I mean, they've got a lot of passion and a lot of ambition. So I'm really excited about what we've done in the last few months.
In the local area, when people think of suicide prevention, Dial Help, of course, comes to mind.
Right.
I know the school systems have been forming a crisis response team,
right,
which, you know, one of the things that they may respond to would be when there is a suicide. So, you know, looking at, you know, sort of both ends of the event from there. Who do you have, I guess, in the coalition in the local area as part of your group?
In our coalition, we have representation from Copper Country Mental Health. We have from the Calumet High School. We have Finlandia and Gogebic representation, and also Michigan Tech. So we've got a good variety of interested people. And in Ontonagon County, we have a lot of victim advocate representation, as well as a VA, a veteran from the Vietnam War. He's just joined us in Ontonagon County, and he's going to bring that piece that is so needed to any suicide prevention coalition.
In any effort like this, bridging that gap from the people who get together, who have the knowledge and can give the help, to get that to the people who need it the most is the most difficult step in the process.
Right, right.
How are you looking at accomplishing that?
It's awareness. It's trying to make people realize that, like Brian said, a lot of people who have committed suicide, they've had a diagnosed or undiagnosed mental health issue. So that's something that a lot of people don't want to talk about. So we need to bring awareness that, just like any other illness, you know, whether you have heart disease or if you have cancer, mental health issue needs to be looked at the same way. That people need to realize that it's something that we need to talk about. We need to teach people how to, like Brian said, recognize the signs and ask the questions.
Brian, from talking to different people, those, you know, who have survived a suicide attempt, and, you know, the family members and other people would be close to them, what makes it so difficult to talk about? If I was suffering from a cold right now, I would have no problem telling anybody. But if I was suffering from possible suicide thoughts, that would be a lot more difficult, even though the need is so much greater.
Well, it's very difficult on survivors of suicide, and those are the people that are left behind. The families, the friends, because, you know, most people would have wanted to help if they knew, right? And so they feel angry, they feel sad, they feel so many different emotions when somebody commits suicide, and they either didn't know or they knew the person felt suicidal, but they didn't see it coming right then. And everybody's different, and every situation is different. But we have to be really sensitive to the survivors. I would say most of your listeners know somebody who has committed suicide in their world, whether it's a family member or a friend. It affects a lot of people. What we can do moving forward for the community, I think, is do things like take a mental health first aid class, mm-hmm, which we're offering now in the community about 3 or 4 times a year. This teaches people the skills to step forward. It's important to ask the question. You know, people don't feel comfortable with the topic, but we have to get comfortable enough to ask the question, are you feeling suicidal? do you want to kill yourself? You have to ask those questions. You can't dance around the topic. People, what we've learned is that people who feel suicidal tend to want the opportunity to talk to somebody about it, but most people don't want to talk about it. So they're being polite by not bringing it up or avoiding the topic. So when we notice symptoms like somebody's maybe more sad than usual, or maybe they're starting to suffer from anxiety or some other issue that might resemble or might be a mental health problem, we need to ask questions. And when we're asking those questions, we need to ask that big question. Have you thought of suicide? Are you thinking of killing yourself? And if somebody is, we need to get them help. And one way to get them help, as you mentioned before, Dial Help, is our local call center for the national hotline, 273-TALK. 1-800-273-8255, I think is the number. And that's good for two populations. It's good for the population of folks who are considering suicide, who are thinking about suicide, but it's also good for people who care about them. Because if you have a loved one who has just told you, yeah, I am thinking of suicide, I don't want to live anymore, I can't deal with the pain, and you don't know what to do, and the one call you can make is to that very hotline yourself and say, you know what, my friend, my family member is telling me this. What do I do? You can call it with them and have them talk to the person too. There are a lot of things that we can do besides education. We can step forward and ask those questions.
Now we focus, of course, on, because it can be such a painful thing that happens, on teenage suicide.
Right.
But as you mentioned, Brian, this affects all spectrums. Of age, every generation, backgrounds, veterans to your average everyday, worker. Is there anything that, those kind of warning signs that for people to try to watch out for in case somebody doesn't want to speak up?
Warning signs in terms of there might be some suicidal thinking going on?
Yes.
Well, if somebody's talking about suicide or talking about dying or talking about not wanting to live or talking about life being hard, those are some big clues. If somebody's giving away really prized possessions, if they're not pursuing activities that they used to enjoy, those are some big symptoms. If they show other symptoms of depression or anxiety, that would be those are indicators, possibly, that there could be some suicidal thinking. But we just need to step forward and ask them, right? And if they say, I want to kill myself and I'm feeling like doing it today, if it's really imminent, we need to get them over to the emergency department and have somebody assess them right away, or call 911 and get some assistance to do that. We need to take it seriously. There's one myth that says that if you ask the question, you're going to plant the seed and people are going to be more inclined to do it. That is not true. We have a lot of evidence that shows that that's just completely a myth. That's not true at all. In fact, it's the contrary. If we do ask people, there's a greater chance of us being able to step forward and prevent a suicide. So we need to step forward. We need to feel the awkwardness if necessary to do that.
Well, I would think that it's very important that other people take that first step, because it would seem to me that included in the makeup of somebody that is considering suicide is the belief that they don't matter, that they don't want to burden anybody else with their problems, and they're going to be far less inclined to grab their friend and say, hey, will you help me? I'm thinking about killing myself, because they don't want to bother anybody with this something, who's going to miss them anyway type of feeling.
I'm glad you mentioned that. It's actually something that's a really big risk factor, is not having a connection to a mission or a purpose. And if somebody doesn't seem to have a real strong connection to a reason to live, a purpose, something that makes them get up in the morning and feel good about their life, that's a really big risk factor too. And if we look at many of the folks who have committed suicide, we study them, we see a pattern of people who are not, they're disconnected from a mission, or they don't have one. And when I say mission, it could be a family, it could be work, it could be a hobby, it could be a lot of things, but something that just makes people feel like they can make a difference and matter. And when people don't have that, then they start feeling like they're in the way. They start feeling like they're a burden. And, you know, in some cases, they felt this way for a long time and friends don't listen to it anymore. And so they've burned bridges, maybe, in some cases. A lot of things could be going on, but we need to continue to take it seriously when we notice those symptoms and step forward and try to get them help.
Mm-hmm. Christina, with the coalition, what is the status now and what are your needs?
Our needs are, if you have any interest in suicide prevention, even if you don't have any personal experience or background in that, we'd love for you to join our coalition and help us spread the word, help make sure that this message gets to every generation, as Brian said, you know, because it is the second leading cause of death for people ages 10 through 34. That's huge. And I think a lot of that comes with the social media. I mean, the bullying for some of the kids, and your life is out there. You put your life out there for everybody. So there's no, you know, before kids went to school, maybe they got bullied. They got to go home and they had some reprieve. There's no such thing. So I think that lends itself to some of the higher rates. But if somebody really wants to be involved, I would love for them to call and I can, you know, show you what we're doing, who else is involved, what we need for our different coalitions, and how we want to move forward. And we really want these to be self-sustaining groups that keep on going and help us bring down the rates of suicide attempts and suicides in general. So
you alluded to how it doesn't work so much anymore with, oh, that's just kids being kids,
right?
And you go home. You know, when we were kids, we didn't have the internet. We didn't have social media. It's a 24-hour bombardment, mm-hmm. and with anything about you is going to, you know, can be mm-hmm. out there for everybody to see, and it doesn't ever let up.
Right.
And a lot of times these kids, when they go home, they don't have much of a sanctuary there either.
Right.
You know, so, you know, they begin to run out of places to turn to.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
What's the next steps? I mean, you got people kind of the ball rolling here,
right,
a little bit.
Right, yeah. We've got, like I said, we got the Suicide Prevention Awareness Walk in Gogebic County. They're going to meet September 10th at 10 o'clock at the Gogebic Community College. And they will have speakers there. They're going to have a young man who attempted suicide last year, and I've heard him speak. He is one of the rare ones who attempted with firearm, and he lived. So him and his mother are becoming huge advocates and trying to get all the information they can and then share their story so to help prevent this from happening again. And then in Ontonagon County, we just formed. We've had two meetings now, and they're going to be sharing information at Maxwell Street Days about what you know, some magnets, some informational handouts. Then in Houghton and Keweenaw County, like I said, we're going to do the ribbon campaign, and we'll also have a display at the Portage Lake Library for the whole month of September. So, you know, if you're interested on some other information, go there. We'll have a lot of handouts and the little ribbons that we're hoping to have distributed. I believe we have 750, so hopefully we'll get them all out.
People want more information about the coalition, or they need to get in contact with you. Mm-hmm. How do they do that?
You can call me at the health department at 482-7382, and my extension is 151.
I believe that there's hope for everybody that has suicidal feelings. I know that there's light at the end of the tunnel, even if they can't see it. And I encourage anybody who's feeling that to please call 273-TALK. Talk to somebody. Tell people what you're feeling.
Ryan, you've talked to people who have been suicidal and have survived, or those that, you know, even those that never attempted it, and they come out on the other end. What do you see as the improvement?
The improvement is they recover their lives. And in some cases, they recover a life they never had that is positive. All people want to matter. They want to make a difference. They want to have a point to living. They want to feel good, and everybody deserves that. And it's possible for everybody who's feeling suicidal to get that. They do not believe that. They cannot imagine it when they are feeling in the darkest times. But there really is always hope. I know it, I believe it, I've seen it happen. And so I just encourage people to just step forward.
Ryan and Christina, thank you so much for coming on the program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.